Well, the United States Golf Association has handed out some awards this past weekend at their annual meeting, and one of them ties into a book about the great historic Chicago Golf Club, and here to tell us a little bit more is one of the co-authors of the book, Chicago golf historian John Moran. John, welcome to Golfers on Golf, and congratulations on the book and the award.
Great, Rory. Thank you so much. It was very exciting, and as a first-time author, to have won an award is pretty amazing. Fortunately, my co-author, Dr. Rand Jarrus, who had run the USGA Museum, is an experienced author and an amazing historian, so we made a great team, and we're very pleased and humbled that we were selected for the award.
Well, tell me a little bit about the book here, The Prairie Rainer. You know, the timing of it, sometimes some of the older historic clubs do things around a centennial, but if I've got my math right, it's not exactly the 100th year. It might even be past that. It's not even 125. So tell us about the timing and putting this book together.
Yeah, the Chicago Golf Club started in 1892, so it's not a name, a quote unquote name university for us either. However, what it is our golf course that was designed by Seth Rainer opened on July 4th of 1923. And so while we didn't quite make that date, we were really doing it in conjunction with the 100th anniversary of that golf course. And I'm sure we'll talk about Seth Rainer, but the really wonderful thing about what we have is that it's, with modern agronomics, it's very close to what Rainer would have done. There was never any radical modernization of it. We recently put back a small handful of bunkers that had been filled in over time, but it's really the golf course that Rainer designed. You know, it's held, what, two Walker Cups, the inaugural Senior Women's Open, the U.S. Senior Amateur over those years, and it's one of the top golf courses in the country. You know, maybe for your listeners, it would be helpful if I real briefly gave you an idea of who Seth Rainer was and why, why that would be significant and what's significant about the title. So Seth Rainer was a civil engineer by training, knew nothing about golf, and he was hired by Charles Blair McDonald, who's our club's founder, to help survey the land that became the National Golf Links of America out on Long Island. And over time, McDonald taught him everything he knew about golf course architecture. And of course, as a civil engineer, he knew a lot of construction techniques and surveying techniques that McDonald didn't even know. And so over time, McDonald got out of the business, and if you even want to call it that, of building golf courses. And Rainer became an independent and very successful golf architect in his own right. And so we are the only place that originally was designed by Charles Blair McDonald, who's really essentially the first American golf course architect. We're the first place that was ever redone, and redone by his protege. Rainer, unfortunately, died very young. He died at age 51 in 1926. And so it's kind of stunning to think of what might have happened in the last 20 plus years of his life. I mean, as an example, he did the initial routing on Cypress Point, where they're going to have the Walker Cup this year. And unfortunately, he died before he could go back out and actually do the construction. And obviously, Alistair McKenzie did that, knew some of his work and did a lot of his own work. But he would have been a even more prolific designer than he was. The reason for the title is that virtually all of his courses, Rainer's courses, are in the East. The three primary, well, I guess four primary exceptions are Shore Acres, obviously up in Lake Bluff, Blue Mound in Milwaukee, Midland Hills up in Minnesota. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two others. But the interesting thing about our golf course is that it's also the only prairie golf course that he ever built. The property that Chicago Golf sits on here in Wheaton, it was absolutely a rolling open prairie site, and it remains an open rolling prairie site. And the ultimate time point in our golf course history was when he arrived, and he was a little bit overwhelmed by what on earth am I going to do on this wide open, at first glance, rather flat piece of property. But as he sat in our clock tower, which I know you've been at Chicago Golf, it's kind of an iconic element of our clubhouse. He sat in the clock tower for 2 days sketching out how he was going to build holes on the golf course, and really came down and evolved that golf course over a couple of years. He started in 1921, it opened in 23. And so we're really the only prairie golf course that Rainer would have built.
Well, I know of, a couple of the other courses that you mentioned. Fortunately, I've had the opportunity to play Shore Acres and Blue Mound, and obviously they're great designs. But, you know, the thing is, take us through the transition here, because so many people look at Chicago Golf and they say, oh, yeah, that's a C.B. McDonald course. And then when you bring Rainer's name up, they're going to say, oh, well, I never knew he was involved there. So when you say that he sort of renovated, was it McDonald through the first layout? And then when did Rainer sort of come in and get involved and perhaps do some upgrades and changes to the golf course?
Yeah, so Chicago Golf, actually our first location was in what is now Downers Grove, at the Belmont location, which is now the Belmont Golf Club, a nine-hole course. And we moved to Wheaton in 1895, and McDonald would have been the one who would have decided where tees and greens were. And this is 1895, and I'm sure that they tweaked it in the subsequent years, but the very early stage golf course architecture. And you know, there probably was not a lot of earth moved, but also very importantly, the style of golf architecture at the time in the UK was what we now call "quote unquote" Victorian, which was built for expert players, and they had bunkers across the entire fairways. It was a penal design, and if what it penalized was if you couldn't hit the ball in the air, that was a hard thing for people. There were a lot of hazards. If you could hit the ball in the air, you were an expert. Then it wasn't so hard. And of course, we held 4 U.S. amateurs, 3 U.S. opens, and the women's amateur, you know, between 1897 and 1912. And over time, a lot of things happened. Number one, the rubber ball came about, which radically changed what distances would need to be. And then also, golf course architecture changed. So a guy named John Lowe in the UK started to advocate for going away from these Victorian structures and moving towards giving different players of different skill levels options. And there's different challenges that came with the options you chose, but gave them options, which we would call, quote, strategic golf architecture today. And McDonald was an early learner, I would say, from Lowe. He had really built just the course here. And when he started to survey in about 1903, he spent several summers in the UK surveying what he thought were the great strategic holes for the purpose of, he wanted to build a course that had 18 great holes. And so he brought the surveys back, and he built what is now the National Golf Links of America, which in essence is really the first strategic golf course in the United States. So, and meanwhile, the course here in Wheaton existed as he left it, with some tweaks from Jim and David Fallis, who are our golf professionals. But it became clear to us in about 1913 that the golf architecture had left what McDonald had done for us way, way behind in time. And unfortunately, our clubhouse had burned down, and then World War One happened. So it took us a while to get together to do something about it. But that's the period of time where Rainer was using the learning he had gotten from McDonald and, you know, becoming an independent architect in his own right. And so the golf course we have certainly would have had input from McDonald, and it certainly came about with McDonald's blessing. But it's a Seth Rainer golf course, and Seth Rainer is one of the top, including McDonald, one of the top, 10, however, 15, however you want to count them, golf architects in American history.
Well, the most recent USGA championship that you had was the inaugural U.S. Senior Women's Open. And every once in a while, I still talk to some of the players that were in the field that week, and they talk about what a great experience it is. I know the club really doesn't host much in terms of tournaments, but I believe you do have 2 more USGA events scheduled down the road in a few years. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. We're really excited about both of them. I'm particularly excited about the first one, which is that in 2033, which seems so far out, but in 2033, we'll be the host site for the United States Women's Open Championship for the first time. And so that will be an exciting thing. You know, as I said before, we've held other USGA championships, but this will be the first time for the Women's Open. And then in 2036, we will host the Walker Cup matches for the third time. A match play event is quite a different, and especially a small scale one like the Walker Cup really is quite a different event than staging a stroke play event. And when the USGA comes to conduct the Women's Open, that will be literally the first time in history. And I've looked at a lot of pictures. It'll be the first time in history that our property has ever been roped off for a competition. So that by itself, I'm not sure how I'm going to think about that when I see it, but I certainly know that that's going to be a necessity at the time.
Well, I know that there was some areas up at Erin Hills in 2017 for the men's U.S. Open that they sort of did not rope off. And now the women are going to get their shot at that golf course this summer. And mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what it is they're going to do. John, tell us a little bit about just sort of trying to keep such an old classic golf course in shape and sort of keep it up to where when the golfers play it, they feel like they're playing a historical classic golf course, but at the same time, it's in some ways modern enough for today's game.
Yeah, so that over time, Chicago Golf Club is a quiet, small little place, and we certainly have invested, particularly in the last 20 plus years, in maintaining the golf course, which I'll come back to, but we never had anybody, Robert Trent Jones, or anybody come in and do a modernization of it. And so what was really under the turf was everything that Rayner had put together, from bunkers to green complexes to the slopes on the greens, et cetera. In about 2000, maybe a little bit before 2000, we started to recognize that what constituted a well-maintained golf course, the agronomy of caring for a course, had changed significantly. And we've had now three superintendents, since 2000, who progressively over time have brought modern agronomic practices. So, for example, aerifying greens, filling them with sand, the pattern of how we water the turf and more frankly, don't water the turf has changed. We've also put a new drainage system in. And so where the golf course is now, where it will be in 2033, is really a function of all the things that went in before, especially in these last 20 years. But the fundamental aspect of it is that if Seth Rayner walked on the property today, he would recognize all the slopes and edges of the greens and where the bunkers were and everything, because they are as they were. The other interesting thing about what makes our golf course relevant is that McDonald's, of course, knew the property and knew that during the summertime in the Chicago area, things could get pretty baked out. And so he obviously had been in Rayner's ear about, the ball's going to run a long way. You've got to put some hazards out where the ball's going to run out. Well, some of those hazards, and certainly the membership are not professional players, but some of those hazards are significant. Very, very relevant for today's players at our level. And you'd be amazed at how many bunkers exist exactly where I want to hit it or exactly where somebody else wants to hit it, that in 1923, only the most expert players could reach. But that makes it a lot of fun today. What makes it most fun, especially for a visitor, are the greens, the slopes on the greens and how they fit into the bunkers around the greens. That's what makes the golf course special. That's what makes all special golf courses really unique and great.
Well, in closing, anything else you'd like people to know about the book or the golf course? And also, how do they get their hands on the new book?
Really, the overarching message that we wanted to convey in the book is that, obviously we took a snapshot in time as of 2023, really, but it takes a lot of stewardship, and this gets back to your question, it takes a lot of stewardship to maintain a golf course and to keep in line with the original conception of it. And that's the superintendent, but it's also the members and how they treat it and what their attitudes are and how they invest in it or not over time. So, it's a message of stewardship, and that's not just relevant to Chicago golf. That's relevant for every golf course of every kind and every location. So that's probably the overarching thing. The book came out in April of 2024. So we just won the 2024 Herbert Warren Wind Award here in 2025. So we've made a limited number of a quantity of copies available online. That will probably run out in the next couple of weeks. At the end of the story, I can give you the link if you want to put it in your show notes. But it's a couple hundred dollar book. It also weighs 5 pounds. It makes a great doorstop, but we're very proud of it.
Well, you should be. And to both you and Dr. Jarrus, congratulations on both the book and the award. I hope you had a great weekend in Pinehurst. And I know that I'm looking forward to seeing that those championships down the road. Hopefully, we'll still be here and be healthy for them, because I know they're a few years out. But Day at Chicago Golf Club is always special. And I believe, I'll bet, when I get a chance to sit down and read your book one of these days, you know, I'm sure you, both of you, have captured that experience in your writing. And thanks again for talking to us this morning, and congratulations again on the award.
Great. Thanks so much, and great to be with you.